Blog Talk Radio.
Turn up the radio. I want to quit the action.
This is InstantRiverside.com. The leader in instant news on the internet. Every day. InstantRiverside.com. InstantRiverside.com is your connection to relevant information. Here, you get it first.
And for the first time in the year 2015, we welcome you to InstantRiverside.com talk radio. At some point, it will morph into a larger and perhaps more grotesque version of what it is right now. But nonetheless, it has been away for just a little while, and we wanted to at least not let the new year shy us away from having an attempt to bring you some conversation that may or may not intrigue some people as we've been away for a while, but during our time that we were quite regular with the program, the show had its core little audience, as we like to call it, the people who enjoyed hearing us and what we had to say, and in some cases telling us that what we had to say was incredible or crazy or, you know, just a mix of whatever it was that they deemed the show was. But nonetheless, it continued for well over a year and then took a bit of a hiatus as technology matters behind the scenes needed to evolve a little bit, and some of those around the InstantRiverside.com websites and the other affiliated websites, which we hope to bring to you in the new year with some modifications. As you may have heard since we last spoke, and it was not even on our radar, there have been reports of companies that do things that, media companies specifically, do things that rile the attention of foreign governments. In one case, it would be North Korea, and a movie that was produced by Sony Pictures Television at, I think a $43,000 budget or somewhere in that range. And as movies go, yes, that's a lot of money overall to most humanoids. We get that. But in the movie-making industry, that's pocket change. That really equals just a smattering of cash to throw at a movie. However, they were hoping to throw it out there as a movie during one of the busiest movie-going times of the entire year, and so it made what would have been maybe a mediocre and by many accounts almost unnoticed comedic movie that poked fun at a foreign government. It made that movie into quite the what we call water cooler talker. It became one of the movies that people had a lot to say about and they wanted to see it, whether or not their views on the movie were such that they wanted to see the movie. They actually, in many cases, people wanted to see the movie because there were some freedom of speech issues to which they felt that the interview was potentially infringing upon, not by the government. Government was never saying you can't run these movies, which is what freedom of speech is that the government can't control your speech. But in this case, a foreign government, by all intents and purposes, seeming to come across and tell Americans that they were not going to watch a particular movie and that they were not going to see it for fear of some sort of retaliation. So a lot of theaters pulled back. That was just before the new year. So that was toward the end of 2014. But it did create quite the brouhaha, if you will, among people who, again, are big advocates of free speech and people who are big advocates of being able to watch what they want, when they want, how they want in America. and especially via the internet, which is becoming the go-to place for news, weather, entertainment, you name it. I'll respectfully leave it at that. But it's been an interesting time for us because we've been able to look at this movie, and it is remarkable because what Sony Pictures Studios did is originally run into trouble, best we can tell, that they're theater networks. So they make movies, and they can do that all day long, but they need the theaters in order to show the movies. That's how they get the movies shown, and more importantly, how people pay to go see the movies, and that money gets funneled back to, a part of it does, after theaters get their minuscule cut. The money gets funneled back to the theater companies, the motion picture industries, and then they recover their costs of the film. And it was in limited release before the end of the year, which, if I recall correctly, and normally I do host this program with Instant Harrison, who's not able to be with us this evening. If he can, he'll jump in, I believe, and of course I'd gladly invite that and let him know. He's aware of this. He just had plans. This was a somewhat last-minute idea that we threw out there. But I wanted to at least acknowledge the fact that I think what happened, and we're going to talk a lot about technology in addition to some other world matters today, and then some of the what I call paranormal issues that seem to be in the lexicon today, from, again, not just today, but in general, from what I'm hearing from people and chatter. But what happened is, originally you had many people, and I will say I was one of them, as a proponent, who said, well, this is a great opportunity. You don't have your theater network to tick off or to protect or to bow down to in any way, so you can go into a brand new business model without fear of making anybody angry or stepping on toes or having any particular issuement thereof, because they pulled out on you. So you could go to a Netflix or to an Amazon Prime, which has their instant video, or to another service, which they did end up doing. I think they tried two. One of them, the more widely used, I believe, was YouTube. And so you could pay for a per-view viewing there, and maybe a little bit more for a download. But it was, yeah, I think it was in the $5 or $6 range. So maybe less than you would pay to go to a theater. Plus, you didn't have to leave your house, and you got to see this movie probably in a setting where you could mock it openly, because it, by all accounts, I haven't seen it yet, and that's going to be one of my questions for people who listen to this program. Have you seen The Interview? If so, I'm going to see it. So I'm not looking to be convinced, but I'm curious as to what I might be up for, what I might be in for as a movie. I've seen the trailers. Sometimes in movies, the trailers have the absolute best content and quality, and they burn all of the good stuff in the trailers. And then by the time you get to the movie, you're like, well, I've already seen all of that stuff. And unfortunately, that's because that is all of their good stuff. But that's what they've used to get you into the theater, to buy the ticket, to spend money on the popcorn or whatever the case may be. But a lot of people have done that, and the last report that I had read was that, and this isn't, well, actually, given all the odds against them and the unusual way that this unfolded, it does seem like Sony Pictures if it's true that from what I read, if they've recovered their loss, so say the movie was $43 million to make, and if they've banked $43 million, and so they're now at zero, they've paid the debt, and anything that may follow is just gravy, then that's a good thing. But even beyond that, I think the greater service to the consumer is that now movie theaters have a proven model, especially with good movies, where, you know, maybe at times they can bypass theaters and, you know, the traditional movies and do what Amazon Prime does with their Instant Video or their Prime Video, or do what Netflix does with their Prime Video or with their automatic streaming services that you pay for. They also mail DVDs, but I think Netflix is becoming more and more well known for getting this getting the content to the consumers in a streamable format. So something they see, oh yeah, I want to watch that. They click on it, and a few seconds later, they're watching it. And the picture quality is remarkable. Most smart TVs, or if you have an interface that makes your TV, say you've got a great resolution TV, it will then make that television take the information from the interface, which behaves with the streaming services. So there's really a lot of exciting stuff from a business standpoint that has evolved. And so I'm going to throw that question out there first before I give out the number. Did you see the movie? Was it worth it? Do you think that this is a possibility or a chance for the movie industry to, in the future, entertain other ways of releasing their product so that they can bypass the theaters because there's now been some precedent set, and do so without the movie theaters feeling like they've been gypped? Because let's face it, it costs a lot of money to operate a movie theater. There can be no question there. And if that's held true, then we want to look at what the movie theater does and say, well, maybe some films are just truly better in a movie theater setting, and other films are great on a nice, big, what are now relatively cheap, flat panel TV with surround sound that you can download and pay a little less for. So maybe there are two movie-going experiences. And then the last one that I heard, which I'll entertain conversation on, I have nothing to support this, but I've heard many people say, you know, Sony knew, this is the chatter, so I'm not substantiating this, but I've heard many people say that, you know, Sony knew all along that this wasn't going to be a great movie, so perhaps they used this somehow to their gain in order to get to where we are now and what I'm talking about now, and getting the theater companies to say no first, so that Sony says, okay, well, we gave you your chance, but now we're going to do this. And if there was some sort of conspiracy activity there, or something that the conspiracy say was real, but then they also took advantage of later, yeah, maybe that's just savvy business. I have no idea. Or maybe there's something that's not even on my radar. So all of those things, as far as that goes, really fascinate me for a lot of reasons right now, which I'll explain. Our direct line, if you wish to call and talk live and share your thoughts on this, we won't break away from you. We'll give you all the time you want unless you're psychotic. that's kind of the only rule is no psychotic, but that's really hard to diagnose on the phone call. So yeah, pretty much anybody gets through. It's 626. That's the area code 626-478-4424. 646-478-4424. And you can call at any point. We'll be with you for an hour or so. There's also been, if you punch in on search engines in 2015, and it could be that maybe people have a little too much to drink on 2015, I don't know, but a little bit of a spike in UFO sightings. And there could also be something connected to this because SpaceX tried to launch one of its payload rockets, which would send up a delivery and then land vertically on what they called a drone pad that was out in the ocean. And it did that. It did what it was supposed to do. It just came down on the drone pad a little too hard and caused some damage to it. I haven't heard yet if its payload, whatever it was, was jettisoned at a speed and at an altitude that allowed it to you know, really get up there. But that space travel stuff, UFO conversation, certainly seems to not escape us ever. And right now where we are broadcasting from is an area very near a place called Area 51. And a lot of people in the area near Area 51 have strong opinions on whether or not the government plays a role in getting intelligence from UFOs or from extraterrestrials in the human space travel efforts. Another item in the news, three mornings in a row this week in the United States, but not necessarily our story, but still our story, has been the terrorism that has hit the area in France and the reaction to it by the government. And that has been something that, you know, France sadly has had to deal with maybe more than other groups have, but it's not that it's, you know, it certainly doesn't make it okay, and they were referring to it at one point as their 9/11. I think they had a dozen killed that were innocents, and then a couple of the attackers. But that was certainly not a way that they had hoped to greet in the new year. And, you know, the new year is a time when people try to maybe let their hair down or let their hair grow out or just let themselves do new things. And for whatever reason, this first week of the new year did not provide a lot of what I would call strategic comfort to allow people to go and enjoy and to begin their resolutions, to begin their ideas, and to begin what it is that they want to do within the world of theirs, wherever they live, say in France, being plagued by terrorism. We've seen it here on a much larger scale, but regardless, it takes the wind out of you and certainly has a way of sapping confidence. Again, our phone number here for people who might be listening worldwide is 646-478-4424, 646-478-4424. But the Area 951, which is very near to where I broadcast to you tonight, not always, but just happens to be tonight, is really a fascinating place. And it is an area that many people who are not wacky, I mean, these are people who really know their stuff. They really know the nature of what happens at Area 51. They may know relatives or friends who have worked or do work there and can talk or can't talk, but regardless, you know, it's an active area that the government uses for some type of work that's very highly classified. And it's in that area in Nevada where a lot of people can see or claim to see a lot of different unusual things in the nighttime sky. And so you just cannot ignore some of that because it is difficult to look at and then say to yourself, well, you know, that's probably just the sun doing something quirky or a reflection or whatever. But these things seem to happen too often, and so I think that is unfortunately what keeps the drive and interest toward the Area 51 region in Nevada. And yes, it is by all appearances an active military base. So that's just something to always keep in mind there with regard to that particular installation. And in the news sometimes things happen there and they end up being a part of the news. The text number, if you do wish to text a message to us, you can do that too, is 951-684-9054, 951-684-9054. Now, in the Las Vegas area, very recently, in fact, just this past week, there was a lot of hullabaloo about the Consumer Electronics Show, which was a very big deal. But was it a very big deal? We'll touch on that and talk a little bit about what was unveiled and whether or not some of these inventions, these electronics, these things, are the types of devices that will rule our world in the future, the near future, or by 2017 or what have you. Because there are many people who have some strong opinions on that, as well do I, and I'd be happy to share them. And you can call in to especially if you went to CES. I would love to know what people's thoughts were on CES, because it's the largest convention to come to Las Vegas, which is in southern Nevada, yearly, and it's not what it used to be. And again, on that note too, I'll be more than pleased to share with you why it is exactly that I feel that way. All right, we are at the 6:23 on the West Coast, 6:24, now 24 minutes past the hour on the West Coast. We'll come back at the bottom of the hour with more chatter on those topics and a wild line offer to you as well, since it's our first broadcast of 2015. You're welcome to call in, and if we haven't touched on a topic but something you want to get into, we'll run down the list of things that we thought might make interesting broadcasting this evening. It is InstantRiverside.com Talk Radio, and 24 minutes past the hour now. We will break for a quick update in the news from our affiliate, and learn more about what has been happening around the world.
From ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Heightened awareness by law enforcement in the U.S. following a new video put out by Islamic State.
Really trying to take advantage of the aftermath of the attacks in Paris, ISIS posted a new message on Twitter overnight, calling on sympathizers to strike the soldiers, strike their police, security, and intelligence members in the West. The target countries, the U.S., France, Australia, and Canada.
ABC News senior justice correspondent Pierre Thomas, in a show of solidarity in the wake of the attacks in France, more than 1 million people marched in Paris. ABC's Tom Rivers is there.
French men and women, young and old, of all political and religious persuasions, marched. This young man, through a translator, tells me why he and his friends took to the street.
We have to answer today's attacks with more democracy, with more liberty, with more freedom, with freedom of speech and democracy, and then that's why they are here today.
And the march was huge. 1.5 million took part, maybe more. The largest demonstration in French history.
The leader in instant news on the internet. Every day, InstantRiverside.com. InstantRiverside.com is your connection to relevant information. Here, you get it first.
And we welcome you back to this first broadcast, 2015, of InstantRiverside.com Talk Radio, which has been away for just a little while, but, you know, hey, those things happen. Programs go on hiatus, and then they return. The other items that we wanted to put on the menu for people who may wish to, you know, talk about these things is... weather control. And I know a lot of people are like, huh? But there's a really serious group of people out there who believe that the weather is controlled. And they believe that the government is behind it. In some cases, it's referred to as the weaponization of weather. And I'm not sure that I buy into all of it, but it's out there. And so for sake that it's out there, we discuss it because it is fascinating discussion-wise. The weaponization of weather is something that the U.S. government, there is documentation on about it being a real threat, potentially real threat, but that's again all it's all speculation and it's all oftentimes by people who don't follow it religiously, and so when you end up with that, you have people who sound a little quackish, and that's not an insult. You just end up, and so the weaponization of weather is something that's certainly been out there before. I'm just not sure if I believe it. The telephone number here, and I'm sorry, I'm typing two things. I've got two text messages here that I'm going to respond to each of you. If you'd give me just a moment here. My multitasking skills aren't as sharp right now for what it was. That's because I got like three computers in front of me. So they're each competing for my attention. And, you know, you can never really choose your favorite computer. So we'll put the question out there. Do you believe that the government has over the there we go. Yeah, and we'll put the number in there. The number is 646-478-4424. And you're welcome to call live and or join us on Twitter as well. But that's been another thing in the new year that I've been hearing more about. So the UFO sightings, ufology, that's what ufologists call themselves. And then you have UFO sightings, UFOs, and just 2015 in general. Do people think it'll be a better year, a worse year, a mediocre year? The Consumer Electronics Show, I just had a whole week of it here in Las Vegas, and I will say that, yes, while it brings in roughly $210 million in revenue to the city, it's the largest convention that comes to town annually. It is remarkable. It is worth seeing at least once in your life. But I think the thing that I noticed this year at the Consumer Electronics Show is that a lot of the consumer electronics at the show were not necessarily practical electronics that I would look at and feel like, you know, I need that. There were a lot of tchotchke-type electronics, super smart watches. That was one where I could see a place for a really super smart watch that constantly measured your pulse and your sweat and was your sweat did it contain enough saline in it versus water versus other nutrients and then it was also a pedometer so it did a lot of things that I think medically are just useful for people to be aware of constantly. And then there were a lot of devices that were the cell phone, but the cell phone then, and this was by Intel, they were trying to make the cell phone into a watch, in a really kitschy-looking watch, honestly. It was really nice, wrapped around the wrist, and then it had like a slide-over door on it, and then on that door you could text, you could make a call, you could scroll through messages, and so the screen kind of wrapped around. And then there was this whole set of televisions that were designed with a slight curvature to them, so they were larger and longer and taller than any flat panel TV. And I kid you not, they were flat. They weren't potato chip flat, but they're sure damn close. And so those television sets to me really were intriguing, because I did sit and watch them, and the idea was that you got more of a wraparound experience with the television set. But I wasn't quite buying it, because I've already got two huge flat panel TVs, one plasma, one LCD. They both work great, and I just didn't feel like I needed to plunk down another large chunk of money for this latest, greatest TV. I saw a lot of devices there for And again, they were all retro-looking TVs that people could, record players that people could use to play records on, but also convert their records to a digital format that's been around for a little while. Polaroid, which I thought for all intents and purposes was essentially out of business, actually has a block that records video, and it's very similar to the GoPro. And they had a space out at CES, and I didn't get a chance to try that out, didn't get a chance to look at it. I did like the way it looked. It had kind of that retro band of colors, Polaroid stripes on it, that's big with Polaroid and with Polaroid fans. So there's some nostalgia there. And there also was some, I'm just going to have to say there was also some, in fact, more than enough tech that was at cars. Now, we've seen this coming for some time, ever since Dodge Caravan, and this was back in 2004 or 5. Dodge Caravan came out with a I think they call it their rugged caravan or something, and it had its own mobile hotspot in it. So the van itself was a souped up van, but it also had its own mobile hotspot in it. So all your kids and all your people, passengers, could all be online and all doing things all at the same time with their own computers, and there were also monitors on the seats and stuff. And it was a very expensive automobile. But it was their first attempt to put Wi-Fi on board in a vehicle. And I thought, well, okay, that's pretty clever. I had to give them credit for that at the time, because nobody else was doing that. We'll take a year ahead of that, and then it seemed like everybody else was doing that. And then within that same year, you started having all your cell companies say, hey, well, our phone's also a mobile hotspot, and you can get this Jetpack hotspot from Verizon. And so the idea of traveling with a mobile hotspot for Internet access is not in and of itself particularly new. In fact, it's not at all. Most people I know who are heavy into tech and computers do have a mobile hotspot. The stuff I was seeing, though, it was all very for the sake of being neat. I wasn't seeing stuff this year for the first time that was neat in a way that, wow, that actually really could change my life. The vendors who set up at CES in Las Vegas go through there's no stone unturned, there's no bill unspent, there's no cost spared in setting up their booths and in making things look very impressive and sharp. But it, for me, was just not. There's just not enough substance there. There was a lot of, ooh, wow, okay, that's interesting, all right. And then when you got to the car section, and there was a very large car section, you know, autonomous cars, cars that parallel park, cars that have enormous collision avoidance systems built into them. And I've used some of these in some of the test cars I've driven, which you'll see more of on InstantRiverside.com. They have been really remarkable vehicles. They have been quite incredible. The adaptive cruise control that General Motors has in some of its vehicles right now, I've tested that. It's insane the way it behaves and keeps you at a safety distance, or a safe distance rather, for your traveling. So you can use your cruise control, but the adaptive cruise control keeps you a certain number of lengths of vehicle based on your choice in front of you and behind you. So I really like that. The autonomous vehicle, I really wanted them to take that out in a real-world test. You know, put it on a street and let's test it. Let's not watch a video of it being tested. So the latest information I had on that was that Mercedes had one. Google's been toying with an autonomous vehicle well, and I just haven't seen one moving at more than 20 or 25 miles an hour, if it was even that fast, that blew my socks off. That made me think, huh, okay, there's something interesting going on here. Now, do I believe that we're going to get there? Absolutely, because technology is exponential. What we learned today, we take that, we apply 10 other new ideas on top of it, and they all coalesce, and you've got this learning process that's literally exponential. And I think next year's CES or the year after is really where we're going to see some fun stuff. I was pleased to see General Motors come out with their Bolt is what I think the working title is for it, and actually may be the sales title. But it is a version of the Chevrolet Volt, V-O-L-T. So they have the Bolt, B-O-L-T. It's a little larger on the interior space, which is nice because the Volt's a fairly small vehicle. There's that. And then they also have on the Bolt a battery that it claims, but I haven't test-driven this vehicle yet. I've test-driven many Volts and other electric vehicles. But it says it has a 200-mile-an-hour range battery, and I didn't see in the specs that it had what I call a range anxiety engine, so an engine to help back up the power of the Volt in case you got to 199 miles and were still 10 miles away from where you needed to be. Now, there are a lot of charging stations around. I also don't know if the Bolt is designed to do level 1 and level 2 charging or if it's strictly level 1. Again, if some of you know this, feel free to call and correct me. I'm not always the expert on these things because at the shows they oftentimes show just the car that is within these particular specs, but it may be a pre-release model or a pre-production model, so it may not actually have been out on the streets yet. It may have just been driven in a factory setting. The telephone number, 646-478-4424, 646-478-4424, and you can join in on the conversation. We'll go to the phones and talk with one of...
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Are you?
You're jumping in and out. I can barely hear you.
I'll speak loud.
I'm going to call back.
Okay, go ahead. We'll be happy to talk with you. Sounded like a little tone on the phone there. But he'll give us a call back and we'll talk with him. But yeah, so this battery issue to me is fascinating because I'm a big fan. This line definitely sounds a lot cleaner, sir. Welcome to the program.
How you doing? Okay.
Good.
Now in your description page, you've got four topics: UFO,
yeah,
space travel, terrorism, and government weather control. Which one are you talking about?
We can talk to all of them collectively, but the weather seemed at a lot of interest, and we were also talking consumer electronics and where the information is really coming.
All right. We got another bad connection. Okay. Can't hear you.
Okay. If you're still listening and would like to call, it does sound clean enough on our end. Maybe it's if we both talk at the same time is the issue. But you're welcome to call back and let us know what it is you want to talk about, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, the issue for me in looking at the 200 mile range battery on the electric car is if you're going to keep it at or under the price of the original Volt, that's fine. I would wonder though if they couldn't take that battery and then somehow offer current Volt customers a trade up to the better battery. That's just a thought. But as far as the government controlling the weather and weather modification and the psychic ability of that, which certainly is out there. We know we can seed clouds. We know that we can use certain attributes to our favor to bring about, and we've had guests on the show who've explained exactly how it's done, to bring about certain weather conditions. The fact that we can do that is something that is very much a known fact, except to people who just don't want to believe that it's true. But if you want to take it at its simplest level and say, can we seed clouds? Well, you're people who have been in that business for a while will tell you that they, yes, indeed, can seed clouds in order to make for rain, and it does work. All right, caller, you're with us. I'll give you the chair here.
Okay. You're talking about clouds and weather control. I presume that you're alluding to HARP.
Yes.
Well, I think that HARP has, in the words of the government, has finally grown into existence. I think they finally admit it. But I don't think that they admit that HARP is responsible for weather control. And I haven't, even though there's been a lot of people who talked about how HARP is dangerous, I don't see any real evidence of it, not to say that the government hasn't the capacity to do what HARP is supposed to do. I just don't rely on people's words. I like to take a look at declassified documents and documentation like that. So do you have any kind of declassified documents that points fingers at HARP and can actually make them seem like the bad guys?
I don't have the classified documents that I know exactly what you're speaking of. And for those of you who might be looking for this online, it's HAARP, so two A's. But it's a research program, and it's been going on for some time. We do know that they are using this in California. There has been talk of this being used in California. Now, I can't say for sure if this has been used under the, quote, term of weaponization of the weather to make certain parts of the world less hospitable as far as weather goes than others. But there are people who believe that that is step was going, and it's kind of being DARPA, which is a research organization that sets kind of a challenge, and DARPA is playing a role in that as well. But the idea that you could come into an area with the power to control that area's weather, whether it's domestically or not, is a fairly powerful thing, especially when we're talking about droughts.
Well, it's going to be very powerful if it really exists in terms of controlling other countries. So, I mean, if you can control the weather, then you have the power of atomic bombs without the dangers of nuclear fallout. So it's a project that I have no doubt that the government has investigated, but without some kind of documentation that actually points to the government actually having the power to do it, then I'll just reserve that as something which is a possibility, but I don't I don't believe. It can exist. I just don't believe that without proof that it, that it does exist. Again, no doubt the government would investigate that type of power. It would be to their benefit to do so, and they have unlimited funds, so they probably have.
Go in and park somewhere.
Huh?
It's frankly an easy way to go in and make a mark somewhere with very little collateral damage.
Well, yeah, I mean, greater than a mark. I mean, if they can actually control the weather, they can wipe out countries in days. And
right.
They'll have no nuclear, there won't be any danger of a nuclear winter.
Correct.
So yeah, they'll have the scorched earth without the earth being, well, there'll be a huge amount of destruction. As a result, there'll be gas lines broken, fires all over the place, but there won't be any type of radiation.
We'll have to book one of our guests on the show here in the coming year who's written a book about this. He's the son of a former senator and talks a lot what he from his father as regards to the weather across the not only the country but the world and how the government has made efforts to try and control it. Very fascinating topic.
Okay. And does he have – well, I guess he wouldn't. He wouldn't have access to classified documents, would he?
Well, that's what I'm going to send him a note tonight and see if he'd be on the guest, be on the show as a guest next month early. It would be our next avail and see what he has and he's willing to share. No, it says he's also coming out with another book, so maybe we could give him some opportunity to kind of tease ahead some of the ideas that he's got that are in his book. But at least whet the appetite of our listeners a little bit, because that's never a bad thing, and then it's fun to read the books and decide whether or not you feel like that's got that like there's anything to it.
And most people would term me a conspiracy theorist, but when I read these conspiracy theory type of books, for example, Springmeier. Springmeier's been on a show, and for all practical purposes, I proved him to be a fraud. And Lindsay Williams, you know about these two guys?
I do know of Lindsay Williams, yes.
Okay, well, Lindsay Williams is a fraud, too, because I exposed him, although very briefly, and a lot of people probably wouldn't have caught it because I was hung up on. But I caught him in an obvious lie, a bunch of lies. Not to say that the general overall information that these guys present is correct, but the money makers, they're out there to make money off the crises, and without real factual proof, I just consider them to be fear-mongers.
I mean, fear is a great motivator. It'll keep you coming back. It's really got some teeth to it that makes you think more the day with better questions that you want more the next day from shows like this. And in Nevada, where the show is originating from tonight, it's fun because there are so many people. It was odd after 2015. There was a lot of fireworks shows and things in town, but then the next day, a lot of people felt like they were seeing or were reporting a lot of UFO sightings or stuff that in the sky believed to be UFOs, and we're not far from that Area 51. And so I just can't help but wonder if maybe the government used the jubilation of the new year and the fact that there were known fireworks and distractions as a way to hey, let's, test these things now because people won't think as much of them now.
It's a possibility. Again, first off, the government that we have, even though we've been trained to take our hands and put it over our hearts every day when we were in school and say the Pledge of Allegiance, the government that we have is like any other normal government. The government is not there for the people. The government is there for its own intentions, which is to make money and grow in power. And if that means at the expense of the American people, so be it. So they're not there for us. And there's plenty of information, declassified documents, that shows that the government has been guilty of false flags and of overturning nations through the CIA. So there's proof of that. Then you have, if you connect the dots.
Today we call it exceptional. Today we call that American exceptionalism.
Yeah, the good old Bush term. But it's for us to. But that means that we go into other countries on a preemptive basis, and because we believe that they're going to be enemies towards us in the future, we have the right to kill them now. That's American exceptionalism today, as meant by Bush. And I don't agree with that. We're the ones that have either funded or created or are perpetuating terrorism due to the government's either phobia, paranoia, or just plain greed. Because if you take a look at us, we're protected by oceans. We're protected by thousands of miles away from any unfriendly country. Mexico's to the south of us, but they're no threat. Central America is no threat. Canada is no threat. So when you talk about terrorism, everybody's talking about Al-Qaeda and the other boogeyman. I forget the name right now. Not ISIS, but the other one that has been in existence for, supposedly in existence for a while. And that they're supposed to create really huge damage over here in America. Well, 9/11 was back in 2001. That's 14 years ago. We haven't had a terrorist attack since then. And there's really no need to, because the government keeps everybody hopping with red alerts, orange alerts, yellow alerts, terrorism around the corner, terrorism in your donut. So everybody sees a terror there, terror here, everybody everywhere a terror. So, but I like to ask people, what kind of threat can you really expect from any terrorist?
Well, I think the threat that most people can expect from a terrorist, quite honestly, is that they can really imagine it's the kind of terrorism that we've been seeing the past 3 days overseas. Because, you know, it's not taking down buildings, it's taking a dozen lives or more, but people can relate with that. You know, we hopefully won't get to a point in the future where terrorism takes down, you know, two of the largest buildings in the country. But I do think people feel it's now the smaller stuff that's in play. It's a threat to our emotional security.
Yeah, it's all that terrorism here, terrorism there. Look out, ISIS. Like Lindsey Graham had said, ISIS. If you don't kill ISIS now, they're going to kill Americans. Yeah, okay. So, first off, if you take a look at the immigration policy, the terrorists are going to come from allowing immigrants to invade this country without any arms, just by crossing the border. And without them knowing how to assimilate, they'll be taking down America from within. But outside of that, when we're talking about terrorism, which people are thinking about people with masks on and AK-47s and everything, what kind of threat are they really?
Well, at that point, they're in my opinion, merely an emotional threat.
Yeah.
But anybody who's walking around with that kind of behavior or garb is certainly asking for attention that I think in today's world they don't want.
And that's why they wouldn't walk around like that. If they were going to do damage to the United States, well, they could have done it. Do you know how open the United States is? You know how easy it is to create damage in the United States because we're a free society? We can go anywhere. And yet we haven't had it.
Hop in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
you go into a, you can take down many railroad stations. You can take down petro facilities. You can blow up utility companies. You can do anything and everything, but it hasn't happened. So if it hasn't happened, if these terrorists are so intent upon
destroying America. They've got 14 years to have done it. They also were funded by a billionaire, Osama bin Laden. So what happened?
Well, he's dead, so their chain of command may have taken a hit.
Well, he died a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago. So that leaves 13 years for Osama bin Laden to have done a lot of damage. Now, if he was the mastermind behind the Twin Towers, then where's the subsequent follow-up?
Well, what would the follow-up be? And again, I want to preface this question by saying we're not putting together a wish list here. But what would an appropriate follow-up be?
Well, if he had the power to train and the motivation by people within his camp, at least following his philosophy, to sacrifice themselves to hijack four planes, I'm sure that and there's plenty of suicide bombers going on in Afghanistan, Iraq, Israel. I'm sure that there are plenty of recruits willing to get 72 virgins by having suicide bombers blow up the Pentagon, try to blow up the Pentagon again. Or they could have gone to any L.A., Detroit, New York City, any large city, and created some sort of synchronized damage. And like I said before, you can blow up railroad stations, utility facilities. You can do a whole bunch of stuff in the United States. It's very easy. It doesn't take a lot of planning. You know,
I was one to look at the recent reports, and while they weren't heinous, but still alarming, there was a cluster of people who went to Disneyland over a certain amount of time during the holiday that came down with measles, and they were able to directly trace it to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be interesting on two levels. One, measles is just not a virus that we see in culture today, because it's been eradicated. So somebody needed to plant it, and we have seen in the past, this is going back to maybe early 90s, there was a radical group that wanted to bring sarin powder into the Disneyland theme parks.
Mm.
And I when I heard that story, it got very little play, and I followed up on it and paid attention to it. It still got very little play, but I couldn't help but wonder if that wasn't like a little test run for something where terrorism could find a home in a place where people feel, artificially safe, and for good reason. You know, Disneyland has a pretty good record there.
Well, take a look at the Ebola scare. Have you heard anything about Ebola the past 2 to 3 weeks?
Not in the past 2 or 3 weeks, no.
All right. But prior to that, Ebola was the rage that was going to decimate the whole planet.
Yes. It had the potential. Did you yourself ever believe that would be the case?
No, I thought it would be a test case. So I thought it was. I didn't give it any real credence. And but it could have exploded. I mean, it could be a test case just to find out and gauge the people's reactions to it. But 8,000 people have died, supposedly, from Ebola, mostly in Africa. It was supposed to sweep Spain, and then, of course, the government. Well, now, isn't this stupid? You've got an Ebola crisis in Africa. Let's suppose that that's a legitimate crisis. You actually are going to bring 3 people who have been infected with Ebola from Africa and bring them over here. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Well, in a country where we do not want that particular virus having a place seems to not make sense.
Right. And if the government's supposed to protect us, and if they have the, supposedly the best minds working in the Pentagon to protect us, working at the CDC to protect us, I say supposedly, then three people from Africa, heart of the Ebola epicenter, and they're going to bring them over here. Uh-huh. Okay. So right then and there it tells you either the government is grossly stupid, which it is, or it could be actually trying to plant the virus over here, which is possible, but you haven't heard about it in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And then the CDC says, well, they've got it under control. So I think of it as a minor false flag.
Yeah, there are a lot of these events that happen nationally, internationally, big scale, small scale, certainly the smaller scale ones that I look at and I don't immediately determine, A, this is the case. But I can't help but wonder if this is not a chance for that group to or for that the entry of whatever that is to kind of be a test
to at least be used in some way to gauge how the American people are going to react to it, as a test to find out if the government, which I believe would be responsible for most of these happenings, could get away with it. How far would the government be able to go? Again, depending upon how the people react. And I go from the premise the government is not there to protect us. The government is there, and I think nowadays it's there to try to control the American people, the American thought, and eventually to try to even wipe out the American people. And now people will say, well, that's going too far, right? But let me ask you a question. What is the greatest cause of death on the planet?
The greatest cause of death?
Other than natural means.
Other than natural. Would it be guns or cars?
It would be, just to cut to the chase, some people might say war. That would be a good guess. Some people might say pestilence, plagues. That might be a good guess. Here's a term called democide. D-E-M-O-C-I-D-E. What it is the government killing its own people. Not through war, but through the government killing its own people. Take a look on Google.
Yeah, no. I'm familiar with the term. I just haven't looked into it that closely. So if that is the case, then the purpose would be to thin out the population of the less desirables, maybe perhaps the ones that are more expensive to maintain.
Yeah,
to put it.
It only makes sense if you take a look at the history of the planet. Now, haven't there been, for example, people like Caligula, Nero, Caesar, Stalin, Hitler? Didn't these people want to be gods? Weren't they dictators in charge of their particular empires? Weren't they dangerous? Yes. Do we think that that kind of emotion, those kind of intentions, those designs, they don't exist today?
Oh, they absolutely exist.
Sure. And with the new technology that emerges over time, don't you think that perhaps in the future, with the megalomaniacs who do exist today, not just the minor despots of small countries, but don't we have megalomaniacs in the American government? Don't we have people who, as a natural course of thinking, once they've reached a certain plateau of power, wouldn't they want to become gods, just like Caligula, Nero, Caesar, et al.?
Good
sure.
point. And, you know, it's in rising to those levels that you get close to the rise, whatever that culture is. historically speaking. That's been a common theme. I'm curious as we wrap up here with you. I'm curious because you said you go for some of the conspiracy explanations. What is your take on 9/11?
Oh, that was an inside job. And I'll tell you why. I had a show last week, and on the show was the person who founded the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And he was talking about how the building could not have come down the way that NIST said. Now, that's an old theme. I mean, a lot of people. I mean, he has 1,300 architects in his organization. They've been saying this for years. But what made sense was the fact that the person who actually is the host of the show, well, he just said, well, if it was that easy to bring down a, you know, three buildings, three skyscrapers, just by burning the top of the buildings, letting them fall down, and then there would be no need for demolition companies. And that particular statement, you know, he just said, it's, why bother have a demolition company if you just burn a building and let it just fall down? Which shows that since demolition companies do exist, and in order to bring down buildings not even half as tall as the Twin Towers, you have to have charges put in place. You have to synchronize them very precisely. You have to use thermite in order to cut through the girders, in order to bring down a building into its own footsteps. Now, if NIST denies that this kind of operation existed, or existed at least in the case of the Twin Towers, and the pancake theory is actually in, what they believe in, then why aren't demolition companies just, when they do take down skyscrapers and other buildings, why are they still continuing to do it the old way of placing thermite charges at selected points of in attached to girders, when they could just burn the top of a building and let the building just crash?
In the way you see it, then, did modified planes fly into the Twin Towers?
You didn't have to modify them. Boeings have had a remote control for years. You can actually take over a Boeing from a pilot. But some people say planes did fly into the towers. That I don't know. I'm going to presume planes flew into the towers. But they could have been taken over by people who had the kind of knowledge and technical know-how. Now, who would have that type of power other than the government?
Well, Boeing, a pilot.
I'm sorry?
Boeing, a pilot.
Pilots can't do that. In order to have done it, you would have, and if you talk to pilots who actually have had like 20 years of experience flying those types of planes, they will tell you, in order to make the type of turn that plane had done, the pilots could not have done it because it would have created too much of a G-force, and the way that the plane turned, you can't do that by manual control. So, number one, you would have had pilots on the verge of blacking out, and you would have needed to have the kind of expertise to have made that type of aeronautical hairpin turn, even though it seemed like it was traveling over miles. The kind of turn that it made was almost like a hairpin turn. And to do that, you would have had to have had you would have had to have the plane under electronic control, and it's very possible that it could have been done remotely.
Flight 370.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's sitting in the ocean somewhere?
I don't know about that.
That one still puzzles me. There should have been something about that plane that has surfaced by now. And I can't help but wonder if that plane isn't in the wrong hands somewhere.
I didn't know any plane crashed in the sea.
No, well, flight, the MH370, the the Malaysia Air.
Oh, the Malaysia plane? Oh, I don't even care about that one.
Well, I mean, you know, only the relatives do, but, and again,
well, yeah,
not to be, but
it may be,
but
I just don't, you know, because it's Malaysia, because it's over there, and you know, and the big to-do about, was it shot down by the Ukrainians, or was it shot down by Malaysians? Did the CIA have anything to do with it? I haven't even investigated that.
I you know, and one, few people have, but it's just, if it did crash, there should be something coming up to the surface by now. And so just more and more time passes, and I think that something with that plane, that first Malaysia plane that went down, that it landed somewhere. And, you know, and the people, they got rid of them, and that can be done, unfortunately. And that plane could come back to do something horrible someday. I'm not wishing for it. I just think we live in a world where we cannot take anything for granted. We literally have to think so far outside the box and hope that we are sounding crazy. Because if we're not, we are probably not being inquisitive enough. Because the terrorists have certainly proven to be fairly inquisitive, fairly creative and inquisitive.
And again, that's a terrorist scare. Look, if people have been telling you for decades, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to wipe you out," and they haven't done it, then they're blowing smoke up people's asses. So again, ISIS. All of a sudden, we have this new ISIS. This new ISIS threat. How did all of a sudden ISIS come into being? Never heard about them before. But the CIA says they knew about it for about a year, told Obama about it, he practically ignored them. And ISIS is supposed to be the real terrorists, not Al-Qaeda. They're supposed to have been the ones that Al-Qaeda thought were too much of a terrorist threat. For them. Okay, right. So, but then again, what kind of damage can they do? Now, unless they come over here en masse and start doing who knows what. I mean, like, again, we're very, very open. But the major threat that most people are worried about is a nuke, okay? Now, when you read about the potential dangers of a nuke, there is no potential danger of a nuke. To have these dirty bombs, first off, in order to activate it, you have to be a nuclear scientist. You can't be somebody who just presses a switch. Then, not only do you have to be a nuclear scientist, you have to know how. Well, you have to have the locks. A nuclear bomb, a dirty nuke, isn't comprised of one bomb in a suitcase. You have several what's called locks. You have to know where the locks are because it. They're in different places. But let's assume that you can put them all together. Even if you have them all in one place, you have to know how to put them together in such a way so as to make the nuke a viable nuke. And the person who wrote a book about that says the odds of all that happening is greater than being hit by a meteor.
So I'm going to say those odds... you know, are a little higher than I'd like.
A little higher than you'd like?
They're
I want them as high as possible.
they're, you know, meteors have hit, not people, well, maybe they've hit people, but
we've got meteorites that do disintegrate in the atmosphere, and we have these little meteorites that do hit the Earth. But what he's talking about is being hit by a meteor that's going to do some real damage. And he puts them as like 3, 4, 5 million to one. Now, every month now, have you been noticing how we've been getting meteor scares? We're supposed to have another meteor scare in the next couple of weeks.
I know. And these things keep getting closer, but then the gravity of the moon or whatever pulls them away just in time. And
yeah,
you know,
all the bullshit. Yeah. all the stuff Werner Braun, Werner von Braun, all this about. Plus, did you read about the fact that astronomers have discovered another type of body right behind the sun, which is something like 10 times the size of Earth? Never discovered it before, but they've discovered it now.
Well, you know, better late than never.
Oh, of course. You know what? I guess in 2 years we're going to be seeing, you know, like these. I didn't read the article completely, but the CIA supposedly has admitted to being behind half of these UFO sightings.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
So if you've got a government that historically isn't out there to benefit the people. If we have the CIA supposedly admitting to about half of these UFOs, if we have Werner von Braun, who was a legitimate scientist who did create the missile program for the United States, brought over from Germany, if we have the classified documents attesting to false flags, okay, then don't you think that it might be reasonable to believe that sometime in the future, we are going to be hit with a false flag that's going to be horrendous, but it's not going to be done by terrorists. It will be done by our government.
The possibility is certainly out there, and that's why I like to keep these shows on the surface and do around, say, October or whatever. You know, I like to keep people thinking strategically about things that stretch their mind, and you know what, later they can come back and say, you guys were so silly, you're so way off, Mark. But the fact that people are skeptical and thinking about things is good. That's my...
Well, yeah. And people are waking up to that. They are becoming more skeptical of the government. So at least that is a good thing. But in any case, we're going to let you get back to your show. Okay?
All right. Appreciate your call. Thank you. And check in with us anytime. We'll start to be more regular.
Okay.
All right. You have a good evening, sir.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, it's so tricky when you have these technologies that are being developed and you have these new theories that are coming out from different groups, used to be paramilitary or part of the military or government contractors, and they've got some information for you that kind of corroborates a little bit of something else, as say a journalist you've been given from something else, and you put the pieces together and you go, well, okay, you know, there's more to what it is that we're being told in a lot of these stories. And then it's also fascinating for me when you go back, say, on Netflix, if you have that, and watch some of the documentaries on, say, JFK's time in the White House, missing of the Cuban Missile Crisis, JFK's death, and then, of course, LBJ's effort to try and get him out of the Vietnam War, and then you get up to Nixon, and you can see these underhanded deals then that were all very terrestrial. You know, they related to stuff happening here on Earth that we were trying to explain one way to the public, another way to our allies, and a different way to our troops. So there were always, it seemed, three different stories that didn't all jive too well. But nonetheless, they were there, and those were the stories that led us through some very treacherous times when it comes to being involved in the... As a citizen, being involved in the news coverage of these kinds of events. We'll wrap up here in a minute. Our phone number is 646-478-4424, 646-478-4424. InstantRiverside.com is the home website, and you can visit that regularly, and we'll have updates on when shows will be, and you can... participate there, or you can join us on the live broadcast, or you can do a little bit of both. Hey, you know, that's fine too. Or if you have story ideas, you can suggest those as well. But, you know, the idea of things being paranormal, or that the government isn't always telling the truth, or that there's government control of the weather, that 9/11 was an inside job. I mean, there are a lot of very credible people out there. If you have an open mind enough, where you can go find that information on Netflix, find documentaries, watch them, and then think to yourself, well, is this too way off base that I could never possibly imagine this? Or is it possible that there is something here? And if it is possible that there is something here, then it's up to you to decide if you can go with it as a part of your set of beliefs that guide you when you watch world events unfold, whether domestic, international, or both. So that takes us to the end of our program tonight, an inaugural one, 2015, InstantRiverside.com Talk Radio. And we appreciate your input and your text messages and your telephone calls. We will rejoin you in about a week, and then at that point we'll come up with somewhat of a regular game plan for the shows. And we look forward to having you join us. The home site is InstantRiverside.com. Instant Riverside. Since I didn't get to talk with you to many of you during the new year approaching us, I wish you all the very best in 2015 and look forward to us having some fascinating discussions. It is Monday tomorrow, or as I like to call it, Tuesday Eve. Make it a most excellent day.
Turn up the radio. I want to quit the action.
This is InstantRiverside.com. The leader in instant news on the Internet. Every day. InstantRiverside.com. InstantRiverside.com is your connection to relevant information. Here, you get it first.